Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling along here live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, joined today by Mike Somich out there remote in L.A. And I am constantly distracted every time that we welcome back into the show by your tan. I'm very jealous as the pale person that I am. But an exciting hour, too, that we have ahead. We just wrapped up a good conversation looking ahead to the second half of the MLB season. We'll discuss a little bit more baseball in about 30 minutes when Johnny Venezia, lead betting analyst for Bet Karma, joins the program. Lots of NFL as well. Starting with Somich, I'm so excited. It's officially official. The Jets are going to be the Hard Knocks team. No more questions. And I know it was, you know, largely written in the stars here that this was going to be the case, but no more questions about the Bears, Saints, or Commanders. Get that out of here. We're going to have the Jets.
Yeah, worst kept secret in the NFL in a while here that it was going to be the Jets on Hard Knocks. It makes a ton of sense. We got Aaron Rodgers going out to New York, Sauce Gardner, wonderful personality. This is just going to be a fun show. Robert Saleh, really interesting head coach coming from San Francisco out to New York. He's going to be a lot of fun on this as well. Going to be interesting to see how everybody gels. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you've heard all the stories about playing Jeopardy in the quarterback's room. And we've never gotten to see that part of it. Now we're actually going to be able to see that here leading up. I think this is going to be a fun Hard Knocks just because of the personalities involved and the fact that this is a really intriguing team. I think a lot of people, you know, when you watch Hard Knocks, I remember, you know, the Browns years and you're watching it. The team, you know, isn't going to be very good though. This is a team there's a lot of expectations on. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to gel in Hard Knocks during the training camp. And if this is going to push their odds shorter or longer based on how that interaction goes.
The news first reported, as you saw on your screen a moment ago, from Adam Schefter this morning. The Jets are the first team that are going to report to training camp a week from today. The first of all 32 NFL teams. Of course, they're in that early Hall of Fame preseason game. But to your point about Robert Saleh, this young new coach, a coach with confidence about his team. We remember in that press conference during OTA's time where he said there's about 6 to 8 coaches in the league that have these conversations with their team about winning a Super Bowl that actually really believe that they're capable of doing it. And he feels that the Jets are one of those teams. It's been a hot minute since they have even made the playoffs. And now they're largely considered a Super Bowl contender because of this future Hall of Fame quarterback and four-time MVP that they're bringing into the fold here with Aaron Rodgers. And what I'm most curious to be, you talk about everything that we've heard about in the quarterback room with Aaron Rodgers, but it's no secret. He is a very polarizing figure. And I love the idea of getting a real peek into who he is as a person and how he reacts with his teammates. Because all we've really seen is him kind of spewing his narrative, so to speak, on Pat McAfee, which is interesting. And we do get a lot of great sound bites. And us in media, we enjoy listening to it and learning more about him. But in a situation where he's actually around his teammates, how he is as a leader, how he interacts with them, I think will be something that could be very, very potentially helpful for him, especially when you hear voters in the past saying, remember, saying that they didn't like Aaron Rodgers and so they didn't want to vote for him for MVP. You're not going to have that issue potentially if you put on a good show here in Hard Knocks. And we can get to a little peek behind the curtain of the Quinnen Williams situation potentially as well. There's a lot of different angles here I'm excited about.
Yeah, when we get Zach Wilson as well in that quarterback room, it's going to be interesting to see how he and Aaron Rodgers end up interacting here. We know Aaron Rodgers hated the fact that Jordan Love was drafted by the Packers. Obviously, a little different situation, but still a number 2 overall pick in the last 2 years in the NFL draft, or 3 years in the NFL draft, sitting in that room with him. And the person who probably is going to benefit a lot from Aaron Rodgers being there, because he now gets to put a pause on his career and gets to study behind Aaron Rodgers and then have a chance 2 years down the road to take a step out of that shadow and be able to be the quarterback in New York once again. I'm really interested to see how Aaron Rodgers is able to communicate with the young guys. Mm-hmm. We've got the offensive rookie of the year and offensive defensive player of the year, both on that Jets team that Aaron Rodgers needs to have a relationship with and needs to bond with. There's a large age gap there between those two guys and what Aaron Rodgers' age. I'm interested to see how that manifests itself as well, because Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like that guy who wants to go out and, you know, have a bunch of beers and party and have a good time in New York City. That's what this Jets team feels like in a lot of ways. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two personalities mesh as well.
Yeah, and I know that he said even in the short time that he's been with the Jets around the facility, around the team, taking part in the mini camp and OTAs, that he has felt rejuvenated. And building those connections early. He will have the benefit of reuniting with his former offensive coordinator and Nathaniel Hackett, having some familiar faces in Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard that can disseminate information for the offense. Lots of reasons for positivity. But what you said about Zach Wilson, I'm super excited for those interactions and for him to potentially get a second chance in the long run with the organization, because who knows what could have happened to this kid's future. It could be totally dead in the water. But now Aaron Rodgers, he made the comment, we know, last year that any veteran they bring in here, I'm going to make his life hell. Well, they didn't realize the veteran that he brought, that they would be bringing in, would be his childhood idol, essentially, in Aaron Rodgers, a guy that he's modeled so much of his game after. He gets to sit there in a room, learn from him, take some time away from the pressures of being the starting quarterback in a franchise like that, and maybe get his career back on track in the future and give him a little bit of second life. And we know at BYU, that season that he made his mark and got to be so highly drafted that year was the COVID season, where they didn't even know BYU, they didn't know what team they were going to be scheduling the next week in some instances that year. You're playing Louisiana Tech, you're playing like these lower level group of five schools, and he showed up and he showed out and he had great surrounding weapons around him. Taking that step up to the NFL was a lot of pressure in a tough organization. And so I hope that this breathes some new life in that for him. From a betting perspective, is there anything you like about the Jets? Any player props? And you're not a big season-long player prop guy, but are they a team that you want to buy in on or fade potentially this year?
Man, I would like to buy in on them. I think people are underestimating Buffalo. I think Buffalo is just not that sexy of a pick to win the division. And a lot of people want to take the Jets. They want to take the Dolphins. For me, the numbers on the Jets are all too short from a team perspective at this point. It feels like as soon as the word came out that he was probably going to the Jets, every number got bet down from a Super Bowl and division winning and AFC winning price. And the wins total went up. 9.5 is a pretty aggressive win total in what I believe is a pretty tough division. If I was finding a way to play the Jets, to me, the way to do it is bet Aaron Rodgers to win the MVP. Because if they win this division, if they have a big season, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the reason. It's going to be because he gels with these offensive weapons, and he goes back to the MVP season of 2 and 3 years ago. And I remember watching him last year. He just looked lackadaisical. He was bad. He was missing throws over the middle. He was airmailing wide receivers. It wasn't the dialed in Aaron Rodgers we saw from the previous 2 years. And a lot of people, you know, when the quarterbacks get older, they talk about the noodle arm and they're not able to deliver the ball with the same velocity. None of that was the issue with Aaron Rodgers last year. It was above the shoulders that was the issue with Aaron Rodgers last year. He wasn't interested in playing for Green Bay. And if we can go back to the Aaron Rodgers above the shoulders we saw 2 and 3 years ago, I don't think the physical talents are that diluted here. Him winning the MVP to me is the way if you want to bet the Jets, if you think they're going to have a phenomenal season.
Yeah, he was bad and disinterested. I think those are great ways to term it. And now, like I said, rejuvenated, he feels, at least to this point. We'll see what happens after the honeymoon stage is over. The start of the schedule for the New York Jets is very, very difficult. And it does start with a Monday Night Football clash against the Bills. But excited to see how things pan out and the fact that we get to see a little bit of that behind the scenes through Hard Knocks. One team that was in consideration for Hard Knocks that we will not be seeing the behind the scenes of is the New Orleans Saints, and some news about their star running back Alvin Kamara coming through overnight. He reached a plea deal stemming from the felony assault charges that took place last February out here in Las Vegas around Pro Bowl weekend. He pled no contest to a lesser misdemeanor charge of breach of peace. He'll have to complete 30 hours of community service to be completed in 90 days and pay just over $105,000 restitution to the victim for past due medical expenses stemming from the incident. The victim also filed a civil suit against Kamara in Louisiana in October that, according to his attorney, was settled but on confidential terms. Now, while that is in the rear view, this means that it opens the door for the NFL to ideally conclude their investigation into the issue and determine what their discipline, if any, will be. According to the league's personal conduct policy, it says it's not enough to simply be found guilty of a crime. We are all held to a high standard and must hold ourselves in a way that's responsible and promotes the values of the NFL is lawful. So just because Kamara wasn't found guilty of a felony in this case, he is still subject to a potential suspension. But will that be one game, three, the sixth, that maybe some were anticipating? We're not sure.
Yeah, he was very fortunate to be able to plead down in this case. I mean, this was assault, period. It was not a pretty scene there outside the nightclub. I would be shocked if it's not 4 or 6 games. I would expect that you're going to see that come down the pipe here in the next 2 weeks from the NFL, and then you're not going to see Alvin Kamara for the first half of the season or first quarter of the season here for the Saints team. Fortunately for them, it probably won't matter. Yeah. This is a pretty bad division. And that's the bottom line, is that they can live without Alvin Kamara for a couple games. He's going to serve his punishment and then come back toward the later half of the season. I'd be surprised if the Saints don't win this division. You can get him plus 115 right now to win the division. The win total is sitting there at 9.5. Don't bet the win total. Just don't do it, because it makes more sense to bet to win the division, because the win totals of the team in this division are sitting there at the 5.5 to 8.5 range. I don't think any of them go over their win totals. I don't buy into this Atlanta stuff at all. I would much rather take plus 115 for the Saints to win the division when they could win 9 games, maybe even 8, and win this division, yeah, versus taking their over 9.5 win total and laying a little bit of juice.
Exhibit A, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a year ago in that very same division for that reason. I do like the Saints. For me, this division would be between the Saints and the Panthers. I'm with you. I'm not necessarily buying all of the hype around the Atlanta Falcons this year, but with Derek Carr being brought into the Saints and him having a defense actually supporting him for once in his career, I think will be a real positive thing. But I'm optimistic about Carolina and rookie quarterback Bryce Young, the coaching staff that Frank Reich has established, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but all around that team, has led me to be more excited than I feel like I wanted to be coming into this year. I am a believer. Bryce Young, please stay on your feet. Please stay healthy. Get the protection that you need. We got to step aside, take a quick break here. We're going to continue our NFL talk, though, on the other side. Producer Dan has put together some blind resumes for these NFL awards. We're going to play Consider It, Book It, or Drop It coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? Drive too fast and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, because one way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Somich with you here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And it is time for Consider It, Book It, or Drop It. Producer Dan has come up with some handy-dandy blind resumes for us today. Mike, I'm going to list out some of these stats and accolades for a certain player, give you the odds for where they sit in Defensive Player of the Year odds, and then you're going to tell me if you can A, guess the player, and B, if you want to back them in the Defensive Player of the Year market. You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Player number one. Last year, this young player had 52 tackles, 9.5 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, and 3 picks. His team looking for their first division title since 1993. And I'll give you another hint. It was not called the division that it is today. That division no longer exists. Their defense has to improve, though, if they want to play deep into the postseason. This wouldn't be the first piece of hardware either for him if he could win this award. He is a 20-1 shot for Defensive Player of the Year. Who is this player?
This one I thought was a little bit difficult, but the fact that we know he's won an award before and the team hasn't been very good since the 90s leads me to Aiden Hutchinson. So I think he's the third-year player out of Detroit here, Aiden Hutchinson.
Bravo. Well done. Well done, sir. Yes, it is. In fact, Aiden Hutchinson, 20-1 shot to win this year's Defensive Player of the Year. And what I said there, 1993, the last time the Lions won the division, that's when it was the NFC Central. So just keep that in mind. But, okay, you look at that odds number on the board. Is that something that you would be interested in, like, considering? Book it, I love it, or absolutely not, drop it?
To me, this is between the consider it and book it position, right? Because the narrative is all there with any Detroit player if you want to make an argument for them to win an award. Because if you do get the Detroit Lions that a lot of people are expecting that win this division, that are one of the top 2 or 3 seeds in the NFC, the players have the narrative to be able to get voted in to these award spots. Hutchinson makes a ton of sense here. He needs to take a step forward this year. You need to improve those sack totals. But if this defense is significantly better, he's going to be the reason, which again points back toward that narrative. So I don't hate the idea of playing him here at 20-1, because you do get the sacks, you do get the counting numbers, and you've got a team that could back him.
one of the more exciting young players, obviously came out of Michigan where he had a lot of success, and just a player when the Lions were on Hard Knocks that a lot of people were drawn to. So yeah, I hope the best for him. I don't mind it. 20-1. I don't know if it's enough for me to want to invest. So I would say consider it at this point, and then we'll kind of go from there. Let's go to player number two. Last year, this player had 75 total tackles and two picks. On a team with new expectations this year, their defense needs to carry over from last year's success where they finished fourth, allowing only 311.1 yards per game. His odds are set at 11-1. Who is this young player? And based on the picture, a little skinny.
Little skinny. Thank you very much for the new expectations, because that means we're probably talking about the Jets here. Give me Sauce Gardner on this one.
Sauce. Yes, sir. Ahmad Sauce Gardner, 11-1 in this year's Defensive Player of the Year odds.
Drop it. Drop it hard. Ooh. Do not play anyone.
Drop it like it's
backfield.
Hot, as one might say.
Like, drop it like the hot sauce. Come on. We do not want any part of this. There's only been two players to win Defensive Player of the Year. It's 2019 Stephon Gilmore, 2010 Troy Polamalu, who were defensive backs since 2010. Mm. This is not an award that goes to a defensive backs. And just simply look at the stats. 75 tackles, two interceptions, and he's 11-1. We just talked about Aiden Hutchinson, who had 52 tackles, 9.5 sacks, two forced fumbles, three interceptions, mm-hmm. and he's 20-1. It is going to be hard for Sauce Gardner to win this. I'm talking like 100 tackles, 10 interceptions, a couple touchdowns hard, which would be just a wild, wild accumulation of stats from last year's numbers.
Yeah, and you look at the award going to Nick Bosa last year for the ridiculous season he had. Micah Parsons, despite his sack numbers, couldn't get over the top. He is the favorite, by the way, this year in the Defensive Player of the Year odds, plus 650, followed by Myles Garrett, plus 750, and TJ Watt, plus 850, coming back healthy to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wonder if Nick Bosa can go back-to-back, 12-1, baby. But Ahmad Sauce Gardner, we are dropping it like it's hot sauce, unfortunately, coming off the Defensive Rookie of the Year award, obviously, that he had taken home last year. Player number three. Last year, this guy accumulated 89 total tackles with 12.5 sacks, three forced fumbles, and recovered one of them. Coming off his best season as a pro, his team needs all the help they can get on defense as they still finish 27th, allowing 365.5 yards per game. He is also a 12-1 shot, 15-1, some shops as well, for Defensive Player of the Year. Who is this behemoth?
This is the one I'm nervous about. I think it's Max Crosby, but I'm not positive.
Max with two X's. You are correct.
There we go. Let's go. Yeah, we're dropping this one too. I get it. He definitely should be somewhere toward the top of the leaderboard. But how we talked about the narrative with Aiden Hutchinson and how that was all in his favor, the narrative is against Max Crosby. They're finishing at best third in this division, probably fourth. He needs to have a monster counting stat season. I'm talking 20-plus sacks to be able to win Defensive Player of the Year, because there are going to be players who have similar numbers to his who are bigger contributors on winning teams than he is. And when you look at these awards markets, you got to remember it's not just who has the best stats. It's who has the best stats, who has the best narrative around those stats, and what teams are successful. And unfortunately, he doesn't check two of those three boxes. So he has to blow everyone else out of the water to be able to win this award. So 12-1 just seemed wildly short on Max Crosby.
Well, and to your point, I joked last segment we were talking about Derek Carr going to the Saints and actually having a defense that, I mean, it's true. The Raiders, in the time that Derek Carr was their quarterback, over that span, was the worst defense in the NFL cumulatively during that time. And we haven't seen the stages for improvement yet. Max Crosby last year was the defense, which isn't what you need. Who do you think would be a good bet in the Defensive Player of the Year market? If you're dropping two of these guys and only considering one, is there one that you would say book it to?
Man, it's tough, because I think this is one of those awards where there's a large luck factor in it. So for me, I'm not looking for a super short price. It moves me away from guys like Myles Garrett. If you wanted to go after a short price, Micah Parsons makes the most sense. I think the narrative around him in Dallas is going to be phenomenal. He was in line to win it last year before he got injured. Mm-hmm. You're going to see similar style of play in Dallas from the defensive side of the ball. They're going to be one of the top two teams in what is probably one of the tougher divisions in the NFL this year. I could see a world where he's the guy you want if you're going for a shorter price. to me, if you're going for a longer number, you're looking sheerly on sack totals. And so it's whether or not you can find someone who you believe can get between 15 and 18 sacks that is a bigger price here. Maybe someone like Brian Burns, who's sitting there at 20-1, yeah. I think makes a little bit of sense. Maybe you go with Quinnen Williams, where if he comes back from the Jets and has a big season internally on that defensive line there, 25-1 isn't so bad of a price, especially if you believe that he can just pile up the stats from a sack perspective. But to me, the short price is Micah Parsons at 650. I think he is probably your most likely winner if he's able to continue on what he did. But if I'm not betting him at 650 in this market, I'm looking at someone further down the board, and Brian Burns 20-1, probably the guy I would end up falling on.
Yeah, I like that 20-1 too. That was definitely the longest shot name that drew my eye, especially because the defense and him specifically was kind of the bright spot on the Carolina Panthers last year. I still feel so bad for them going down the stretch, had such a golden opportunity to potentially win the NFC South because of the parity and because of how poor largely everybody had played in that division and squandered it a bit. But Brian Burns 20-1, I see 25-1 available at DraftKings as well. So we've said it once, we've said it 1,000 times, shop around for the best available numbers that you can. Last 2 minutes here though, because you mentioned Micah Parsons is probably your favorite, he's the favorite in the market. What's your expectations for the Dallas Cowboys this year? I mean, back-to-back 12-win seasons, they make it to the playoffs, they're in a position, and then they die. Why does this keep happening to this team, and could this be the year they get over the hump, or is it another just fade spot and get off of the Cowboys believing that they can win an NFC title?
Who's their head coach?
Yeah, Mike. Good old Mike.
Oh, it's still Mike McCarthy. It's still him. So let's talk about some good regular season success.
They're going to run more.
Yeah, but they now only have Tony Pollard at running back. To me, like, I love Tony Pollard. He was clearly better than Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke played a very important role in Tony Pollard being good. Like, he needed someone to take some of those carries off of him. You can get Tony Pollard right now 17-1 to win the rushing title. To me, that's crazy. I don't know if he can play 17 games without having Zeke as the other part of that backfield. And he's just too much of a boom or bust guy. Yeah, I get you're going to run the ball more. I'm not sure that really helps you. They could be the number one seed in the NFC. I think there's much higher likelihood they're able to get that job done than go to the Super Bowl. Because this team, to me, is just going to make a mistake mentally at some point in one of these games because of who you have at the helm. And I can't back the Cowboys to be able to get that deep into the playoffs because of what they're going to face in end game management. And we've just seen it consistently with issues. They didn't even get a playoff against San Francisco. How do you not even get a playoff? Like, it just... there have been so many problems with this Dallas team once you get into crunch time.
Yeah, stabbed themselves in the foot last postseason for sure. It was the 49ers ultimately who ended the Cowboys season each of the last two postseasons. Win total for Dallas sitting at 9.5, plus 165 to miss the playoffs altogether, minus 200 to make. Just a little food for thought there with Dallas. We got to step aside back to Major League Baseball when we return. Johnny Venezia, lead betting analyst of Bet Karma, joins us next to talk all things second half.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page. You can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Plus, you can check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard as well to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand at any given time. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up now, just $19. VSiN.com/subscribe, where you can get it done. Rolling along here alongside Mike Somich, I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Keeping it rolling here today on the Lombardi Line. Time to get back to a little Major League Baseball as we bring in Johnny Venezia, lead betting analyst over at Bet Karma. The All-Star game is in the rear view now, so looking ahead to second half. But how did you enjoy the All-Star break? Did you like the game? Home Run Derby, how'd you do?
How you doing, guys? Thank you so much for having me. You know, first time that I've been on with you, so it's an absolute pleasure. Excited to be doing this. You know, All-Star Weekend was always a big thing for me, but now that I've gotten more into college baseball over the last few years, the draft was the thing that I was interested in the most, if I'm being honest. And, you know, I did pretty well, hit the first pick and the second pick. You know, my boy Wyatt Langford didn't go one, but I'm still happy at the result of him going to the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, it's amazing how these drafts have become betting events now. And you're able to see the odds flip wildly at the top, especially. We saw it in the NBA draft. We saw it in the Major League Baseball draft over the last couple of weeks as well with some of the movers and shakers there. I want to actually go to one of my boys, though, here. I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan. Yo-Yo Morales, what happened? Why did he end up going 40? He seemed like he should have been in the top 15.
Dude, I was live tweeting this angrily. I was like, why is Yohandy Morales falling? He is one of the best college hitters in the country for the last 2 years. He went from really good in 2022 to amazing in 23. He's going to be a big league difference maker. I couldn't understand it. In my honest opinion, I think maybe the only third baseman that should have been taken ahead of him was Brock Starr, a.k.a. Brock Wilkin. I think Morales should have been taken over Braden Taylor. I understand the concern with Morales is the strikeouts, the swing and miss, but that is something that can be fixed at the next level. This kid has power to all fields. He literally picked up the Miami Hurricanes, put him on his back, and said, follow me, we're going to the playoffs. I mean, this kid batted 408 with 20 taters this year. What more do you want from this guy in the ACC? I really don't get it. You know, the Washington Nationals got an absolute steal with Dylan Cruz and Morales with their first and second picks. They're going to be a problem in the next couple of years.
Yeah, you talk about Cruz, the two LSU guys, Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz going 1 and 2, three of the top four picks played in that College World Series. Which was just awesome that so many of us that watch college baseball more casually got to see that type of talent on display for the world. When it comes to the most immediate impact players, like which name maybe should people become the most familiar with, like the expectations you have at the next level?
I mean, besides Paul Skeens and, you know, Wyatt Langford, for my opinion, I would really think a guy like, you know, Chase Dolander is somebody that was really, aside from him being my favorite player, he's the guy that was supposed to be what Paul Skeens is. So for people that didn't understand college baseball coming into this year, Chase Dolander was getting the hype that Paul Skeens got towards the end. You know, he had an up and down year. I think a lot of it had to do with maybe the pitching coaching situation that was going on there with Frank Anderson in Tennessee. But he didn't get picked in the best situation in Colorado, but the Rockies had a really good draft with their pitching, and I think ultimately that's the guy that if he can have some of these slight mechanical tweaks fixed, he's going to be back to being one of the most dominant arms. Now, I truly believe he's right there with Skeens, even though 2023 did not reflect it. This stuff is elite. It's electric, a four-pitch mix that requires a lot of punch outs. And I think if that happens, we're going to see Chase Dolly getting back to being one of the best pitchers in the league. And this is a guy that I said, if he doesn't win two Cy Youngs in his career, I think it's a letdown.
Wow. Two Cy Youngs. That's quite the call there. Let's shift gears a little bit here, Johnny. Let's talk about the Major League Baseball in the second half of the season, kind of what you expect coming up. The division that I'm really intrigued by and what we're going to see here is the AL East. Right now, we've got the Rays on top of the division, the Orioles sitting there in second, the Blue Jays in third, and those perennial bottom dwellers, the Red Sox and the Yankees, sitting in fourth and fifth there. Who do you like coming out of this division? Is this just the Rays they're going to run away with it, or is someone going to be able to make a run at them?
I think the only team that really can make a run at them at this point is Baltimore. You know, not to go backwards here with the draft, but Baltimore is one of the top teams in the last 2 years that have just hit home runs in the MLB draft. And I think a guy like Enrique Bradfield Jr. is one of those that can come out and make an impact as, you know, as early as September of this year. I just don't see anybody else catching Tampa unless it's Baltimore, because you just look at the talent, how well they're playing, and what kind of gap they have on these other teams. It's just really difficult for anybody else to catch them at this moment.
Who, for your money, is the best of the worst in the AL Central, the top record being 45-45 right now at the break? But who do you like?
I was on the Twins preseason when they were 3-1, when, you know, Cleveland was the favorite. So Twins were my team at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to stay with them because I do think they have the best pitching front to back in the staff and some really good studs in the bullpen. They keep that lineup healthy and, you know, just produce enough. I feel like at this point, maybe five games under 500 gets the division title. I mean, how bad is this division where nobody's over 500? But
that's what I said. I was like, that's my bold prediction for the second half, is that the winner of the division is sub 500, like an 80-82 final record.
That's like in football when the team that wins a division is like 7-9 in the old days. So I think the Twins are the team to beat there. They do have the best pitching, and they've been playing the best baseball, if you could really call it that, in this division pretty much the whole season.
I love that he won up to there, Stormy. Five under 500.
I know. I thought I was bold.
500 there. Let's talk a little about the AL West there, Johnny. The Rangers have been phenomenal early part of the season, got in great pitching. I don't think anyone expected them to bat as well as they have with runners in scoring position as well. The Astros starting to just kind of reel them in a little bit. And the Mariners, I don't think enough people are talking about. They're a little frisky up there in Seattle as well. Who do you like here in the AL West?
Seattle is the team that I picked in the beginning of the year before the year started to win it all. And I thought they had a legitimate chance to win the AL West. And I still believe that. You know, Seattle, and I've went on record a lot of times on this show with Greg Peterson saying Seattle's a notoriously slow starting team. I'm not sure why, but they take a little while to get going. But once they do, they're like a locomotive that you just cannot slow down. And if you look at their offense, look at Julio Rodriguez. He really hasn't done much in the beginning half of the year, and they're still in position. They're six games back. And for my money, Texas was a team that peaked a little bit too early. If you look at all their pitching after they lose Jacob DeGrom, a guy like Nathan Eovaldi, like, okay, he's been good before, not surprised there, but like John Gray, Dane Dunning, all these guys that have never done anything remarkable in their careers are having the best seasons of their lives. That's going to come to a halt in the second half. That pitching is going to fall off the table. I'd expect the hitting to slow a little bit too, but for my money, I think Seattle is the team that you have to look at. You're getting them at 13-1 on certain books. And I think the Mariners do have what it takes to win the World Series. Just wait till those bats and that pitching all comes together. They have a lot of talent and depth.
Oh, you mentioned the Mariners. The Braves are the favorite right now to win it all. Obviously, they won in 2021 without Ronald Acuna Jr. Now he's healthy. He's back and being dynamic. Who are some of your favorite options right now when it comes to World Series, whether it's from a number standpoint or just teams that you really get a good vibe for to go the distance?
I mean, other than Seattle, I think we can't fall asleep on the Padres. You know, they're kind of scurrying towards the back of the pack there in the NL West, but this is another team like Seattle. They have a lot of talent and depth, and yeah, they may have been a little bit slow to start this season, but you know, baseball's a long sport, and a lot of teams get tired in July and August. So as long as they're just kind of improving a little bit each month and putting themselves in position in September to make a run and just get into the playoffs, a lot can happen. So I wouldn't fall asleep on the Padres just yet. It looks like this team is really starting to find their gears a little bit because, you know, if they get in the playoffs like last year, they're going to make life uncomfortable for a lot of teams.
I got to tell you, that surprises me a little bit. But as a San Diego Padres fan myself, I love to hear it. So I really hope that they cash that, 45-1 World Series ticket. Would be lovely. San Diego needs a championship, my Lord. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll have to do this again soon, Johnny. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great week, and let's cash some winners.
Yes, absolutely. That's Johnny Venezia, a lead betting analyst. Make sure you check him out over there at Bet Karma and on Twitter as well, _JohnnyVTV. Great stuff from him, getting us set for the second half of the MLB season. Go Pod Squad, Samich. Let's go.
I love the passion there, man. I love the energy from Johnny. That was phenomenal there. It was a blast to do that. Look, I'm glad someone believes in the Padres, because I sure don't.
A girl can dream, okay? Let me have this.
It is the year of Stormy. Let's be honest. You've had a phenomenal sports year, so I wouldn't be shocked if the Padres come back.
It's a sports year where, okay, yeah, that's true, because the Golden Knights did get it done. San Diego State came up a little bit short, but we're getting there. We're getting to the top of the mountain, and that's what's important. We got to take a quick break, wrapping up things on the Lombardi Line next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Plus, if you're planning a trip, you can also convert BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located right here on the Las Vegas Strip or nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Closing things out here on the Lombardi Line. Thanks for joining us today on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Mike Somich. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. And it's funny, Mike, because I just got a calendar reminder that I have a dentist appointment here coming up later on this afternoon. But our pro tip of the show actually revolves around setting calendar reminders. So what do you got for the people at home?
Yeah, this is something I've been doing for 2 or 3 years and has been wildly helpful for me. I love setting myself calendar reminders, specifically in the NFL. So one of the things I do when we have this downtime in July is go through the schedules and specifically look at teams that I'm interested in but have a tough start to the season. We talked about the Ravens as one earlier. I have a calendar reminder after week 4. Look at the Ravens division price at that point, because I think you can get a lot of value in season division prices. And I was able to take advantage of this last year with Jacksonville, getting them at 7-1 at one point in season, where they have a tough early schedule, but it gets a lot easier later. And you forget about that a lot of times once the season gets going, you're betting week to week. So it's often a good idea to send yourself calendar reminders when those tough parts of the season are over, so that you can then go and look at the in-season win total as well as the division price for these teams, because you can often get a lot better than the preseason price. And you know right when to expect that turnaround is coming. And it gives you a little idea of what that team's going to be like as well. So I love sending myself calendar reminders in July for September and October once we're into the NFL season, because it reminds me to pop up, look at those division prices, and see if you can get some value in season on some of the teams that have specifically difficult schedules to kick off the year in the NFL.
It's a great point, and just another reminder that we can utilize technology to our favor in these instances. We talk about setting notifications on Twitter for certain insiders. It's the same concept, right? Utilize your calendar, take advantage of the opportunity that you have there to just ping you and be, oh, hey, it could be a good opportunity to take a look at the old NFC South here, see what's going on. Although that, let's ignore that division for a moment. VSiN pro tips, searchable by sport and by show at VSiN.com. Become a subscriber today. We've got the NFL betting guide coming out that's already out. We got the college football betting guide that's coming out here relatively soon. And today is the start of talking season, finally, for college football. All of these media days events are getting underway. Here at Circa, the Mountain West will have their media days next week. The Pac-12's out here in Vegas next week as well, but the Big 12 kicking things off today. We had a great conversation earlier today with writer over at Fox Sports, Brian Fisher. And I asked him about the Big 12, who he saw winning it all. He said he thinks this could be the year for the favorite, Texas. They're the favorite in the preseason media poll for the first time since 2011. Quinn Ewers back at quarterback, 15 total returning starters there. The biggest loss, of course, being Bijan Robinson, who's now in the NFL. I know you, too, are a believer in Texas in this league. Why do you think that they could get it done this year? I have a little bit of hesitancy with maybe their foot out the door looking ahead to the SEC in a year.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a little concern. They're looking ahead in a lot of ways, making sure that they're ready to play SEC football. But when you look up and down at this conference, look, TCU not going to be the same as last year. Oklahoma probably going to be middle of the pack again this year after a pretty disappointing season last year. You mentioned Texas returning 15 starters and have that guy at quarterback, one of the top 5 Heisman candidates right now in Quinn Ewers. I think this is the best team, the class of the Big 12. But I mentioned to you in the break, this is the conference I bet the least. The Big 12 to me is a mess year in and year out. You see a bunch of these upsets when these teams go on the road because none of the defenses in this conference are generally very good. And if you have defense that's what travels and the offense doesn't always travel very well, you get some pretty unique results. So the Big 12 for me is one of those conferences where I rarely will bet a road team. I'm much more focused on the home teams. And I'm looking for teams with mediocre defenses and good offenses at home, taking on mediocre defenses and good offenses on the road. But that creates parity inside the division in the conference as well. It makes it a little harder to back some of these middle tier teams because you know they're going to get lit up when they go on the road, and they need to go score for score to be able to win. Texas may be the exception to that rule this year. 2-1 is too short of a price for me. I wouldn't bet anyone to win the conference, but if you told me who was I going to pick, I think Texas is the best team here.
Yeah, last year, 8-5, did have that 1-point narrow loss to Alabama, who they do play again week two this year in Tuscaloosa. Last year, the overtime loss to Texas Tech. One-score losses to Oklahoma State and TCU. They did beat the Big 12 champ Kansas State, so you have to imagine if they can take that next step forward, actually live up to the expectations that I feel like are set for a program like this year in and year out. That would be a positive thing. Win total set at 9.5, juiced all the way, though, to minus 140 on the over. This is a league with four new additions as well, and you see three of those new four teams in the bottom four of the division of the conference odds this year. UCF, their win total set at 6.5. BYU coming into the league, 5.5. Cincinnati, 5.5. And Houston, 4.5. I think Cincinnati could maybe be battling West Virginia as the worst team in the conference this year, as their head coach Luke Fickell moves on to guide the helm at Wisconsin, and they lose a lot of their starting talent. Oklahoma is a team I'm very curious about. I would have really thought that their defense would have showed something last year, knowing that their head coach is Brent Venables, but we got none of that. And they're the second shot on the odds board to win the Big 12. So the two teams that are at the top of the board are the two that are also making the transition to the SEC next year, where we know Georgia still reigns supreme. They are an odds-on minus 110 favorite to win the SEC again this year. They're the shortest shot in the national championship odds to win a three-peat. They have just been dominant, and it's like no matter who goes out the door, they don't rebuild, they reload, that old adage. Is Georgia going to do it again, you think, in the SEC? Or if not, is there a dark horse candidate you like?
I think they're a mortal lock almost in the SEC East. They're going to be very, very difficult to not see them, at least in that SEC title game. Alabama out of the SEC West, obviously very good. But that West, I think, is a lot more interesting in the East. I think LSU is going to be very good this year. We saw Jalen Daniels take a monster step forward. He had all the talent in the world in Arizona State. Transfers over to LSU. Start out the season a little bit slow, but man, did he come on later. They've got a very talented wide receiver room as well. I think if anyone can upset the apple cart, it's going to be LSU. When you look at a team like Texas A&M as well, I think they're a little bit interesting out of that SEC West. If I was going to bet someone to win the conference, I'm betting someone in the SEC West because I don't want to take Georgia at minus 110. And essentially, you get a one-game playoff if you can pick the SEC West champion against Georgia. And looking at someone like Texas A&M sitting at 14-1, that's not a terrible price, and there's a very easy way to cover bet yourself also if you get close enough to that game where it looks like you're going to have Texas A&M into the SEC title game. So if I'm looking for someone, I'm looking at LSU or Texas A&M. LSU at 450, I think, is the most likely team to upset Georgia. But if you want someone a little further down the odds boards, I think Texas A&M makes a little sense. They have a ton of talent, and they should be significantly better this year.
Yeah, and when I was looking at those LSU odds last week, they were 5-1, so taking at least a little bit of money to make that slight adjustment to plus 450. They do have to get past Florida State week one, play at Alabama late in the season, get Texas A&M at home, though, in Death Valley. And plus, we know this run of LSU second-year head coaches. We just saw in college baseball, we were talking about the two LSU picks at the top of the draft, but Jay Johnson, they win the College World Series his year two at the helm. Kim Mulkey in women's basketball, they won the national title this past year. Could Brian Kelly potentially not only win the SEC, but go all the way and win a national title? I don't know, but that could be one of those fun, longer shot bets in a very tough conference, obviously.
Yeah, they have all the talent in the world. They've got the quarterback position figured out. The offensive line should be better. I think this is a better version of LSU than last year, and they looked darn good at the end of the season. It took them a little while to get going, but, man, did they look good late in the year. If you want to take a flyer somewhere, LSU to make the playoff, I think that makes sense as well. LSU to win the title, I think, is a little aggressive. But
all right. Come on. I'm just trying to stick with the trends here.
you know, it could happen. It could happen. You're getting the right price, at least, if you're trying to make it happen as well. To me, the key here is, look, don't try and upset the apple cart with Georgia in the SEC. Try and figure out who can beat him in the championship game if you're looking for a winner of the SEC that's not minus 110. And if you want to bet Georgia, there's other ways to bet Georgia. I mean, you can bet them over their win total. And I think it's 11.5 right now is minus 110. Look, they're going to win the SEC if they go 12-0. So there's other ways to bet Georgia versus betting them to win the SEC. So I would rather take one of the further prices down the board from the West.
Yeah, and then you've got Alabama there, the second shortest shot because it's Nick Saban and because of the talent we know they always bring in. But they're obviously missing Bryce Young, who was the number one overall pick in this year's draft. How will the quarterback situation play out at Alabama? What's that team going to look like? The expectations are always so high, but what will they actually deliver? A down year last year because they had two losses and didn't pass the eye test, although those two losses were by a combined 3 points. It's a down year. Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate you today. He's Mike Somich. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line, but VSiN Best Bets is coming up next. Don't go anywhere.